Hey, and welcome to the Crosspoint Church Podcast. We are a church that is for the city in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. We are passionate about helping people become fully devoted followers of Jesus. So, if you're just joining us for the first time, we would love for you to check out our website, thecrosspointchurch.ca. There you can find ways to connect with us and see what's happening at Crosspoint. Now, let's listen to this week's Sunday message.
Well, about 17 years ago, I remember we had an April snowstorm. We were living in Fort McMurray at the time, and if you've lived kind of in Western Canada, you know you get those April winter storms that roll through, and you kind of think you're on the edge of spring, and all of a sudden it dumps like 2 feet of snow, and you're back to winter for a while, and you're like, what the heck is this? I thought spring was coming. We had one of these. We were in Fort McMurray, and it happened. We got a ton of snow and wind that blew. We got so much snow. In fact, we had a dog at the time that walked out the door, the front porch, and didn't realize that the front porch ended because it was just a big drift of snow, and so head dived into this pile of snow. It was a Tuesday, and I remember it because Tuesday was the day for our church to run the local soup kitchen. And so we had a team that would go and prepare meals to serve to those that were unhoused in Fort McMurray. The leader of our team, the prime cook on our team, she lived in a little community just outside of Fort McMurray. It was about a half hour away. And I knew that she was not going to be able to make it in to serve at the soup kitchen. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to round up one of my student leaders, and we're going to go down, and we're going to make food for the day. And so I had a two-wheel drive truck, and I knew that wasn't going to be the option for the day. But my wife had this little SUV that I thought, okay, well, let's try this. Back out of the garage and, you know, a little bit of gas to get through the driveway. And we lived in a little bit of a cul-de-sac, and I didn't make it far. And I thought this could be a long morning working my way there. So good thing to do, drive up, get a little more speed, maybe dig out a little bit and make a way. And I did this a couple of times, and with not a whole lot of luck or success and a whole lot of movement. And I was stuck, not even on the road, but just in our little cul-de-sac. And I was wondering how we were going to make all of this work. Just as I was stuck, about the third time when I had been working through this, a buddy of mine who was a framer building a house just down the street drove by. And he happened to have a jacked up big truck, like many people in Fort McMurray do. And he drove by, and he had a little chuckle and smile, and out the window he tossed a tow rope. I went over and grabbed this tow rope and hooked it up to my vehicle, and he went ahead, put it in drive, and off he went, and he towed me out of my driveway and out of my little bay cul-de-sac and onto the road, and towed me even when I had the brakes fully on. And I was like, just to prove a point, and a point was proven in that moment. I think in that moment, I made a decision, maybe an internal thing, like, man, I never want to be stuck like that again. I don't want to be the guy that's stuck on the other side of this. I want to be the guy that's helping people get unstuck. And if I'm going to be that, I probably need a big truck, because why wouldn't you want a big truck? I can give you all the reasons and rationale of why the big truck was the truck that I needed or wanted. But it was the thing that we ended up buying. We were with one kid. The truck we had, it couldn't fit car seats in. There was a whole bunch of things. Then we were having two kids, and man, that just changes the dynamics of stuff. And so we were in the zone to purchase a vehicle. And, you know, every vehicle we looked at, I thought, well, I could have this one. And I can give you all the reasons and the rationale. We use this truck. A truck moved us from Fort McMurray to a village in BC that we served in for a number of years, a 40-foot trailer enclosed with all our stuff at haul. It did everything. It was a great truck. But there was a moment that I realized that that truck had captured my heart. There was a moment that I realized, and now there was lots of ups and downs with this truck. It was a great truck in so many ways, but it was also a truck that got stolen frequently. So that wasn't a great thing. But no matter how many times it got stolen, it always came back, and I thought, man, this is the truck for me. But there came a time and place where we made a decision that it was time to move on from this truck and getting something different. And there was a moment that I realized that this truck had captured my heart, and it was the moment it drove away when I sold it. Now, Jesus and I, we've been back and forth lots of times around things. I'm a guy who loves newer, faster, bigger, better. I love the toys, and I love things that go fast. I think it's something I inherited from my dad. And Jesus and I have been back and forth a number of times around these things, because he continues to ask the question of, do I have your heart? Do I have your heart? Because at the core of our life following him, that is what he is most interested in. We've seen it a number of times as we've been working through the Sermon on the Mount, right? Jesus, even over the last number of weeks in this series, Jesus has been making these statements to say, you have heard it said, and he would give you a moral law. And he'd say, this is what you've heard, and this is what you've lived by, but I say to you, and he'd begin to dig underneath the surface and say, where's your heart? What does it look like for you to live this out? When he says, do not murder, and then he says, actually, do not be angry, he's saying, where's your heart? How is your heart formed and shaped by me? And at the end of the day, as we think about the things that we have and the things that God has entrusted to us, the things that he provides for us, it is about our heart. Because we can be people that are captured by the things of this world. Oh, we can be people that are captured by having the newest, the latest, the greatest, the biggest, and the best. And so often, Jesus is continually asking the question, where is your heart? This morning, we're going to unpack a section of scripture that Jesus talks about in a couple spots about the way we navigate and deal with the things that we have, the things that we own, and how people perceive us or how we hope people will perceive us because of those things. Now, you might be coming here and being like, oh man, here's a talk on money, and that's great. The church continues to do that. Can I say right off the hop, Jesus does not need your money. The scriptures tell us that he is the cattle on 1,000 hills. He is the God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. He is not in need of our finances. But he also knows that finances and possessions are one of the biggest competitors for our heart. He knows that our hearts are often consumed by the things of this world to have enough, to have more than, to keep up with the Joneses. And he is asking the question, where is your heart? And he is seeking that we'd be people who surrender our hearts and our lives to him. He wants our hearts because our hearts, the scriptures tell us, where our treasure is, there our heart will also be. God's desire is that he would be the one who is our treasure. And so Jesus addresses money and generosity a number of times throughout the scriptures. We see him do it with frequency through the gospels. We see it lived out for us because he is trying to disentangle our hearts and our lives from the idol of wealth and possessions. It's a thing that is so prevalent in the Western culture and the world that we live in North America and Canada. The opportunity to have more and be more, and the more that you have, the better you are, and the higher you're viewed, and the more revered you are in society. And Jesus is saying, I want you to disengage from the idols of wealth and possessions. When we talk about money, and when we talk about money in churches, I think the pendulum can swing. I think there's this pendulum that happens on both sides. And one end would swing from the scripture that you might read in 1 Timothy chapter 6 to say we can't have possessions and money that is like that is anti-God, that's anti-being Christian. Like, we have this idea of being scarcity. And they would reference a verse from 1 Timothy 6 that says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. I think the thing that's key in that statement, in that scripture, is that it is the love of money. Again, what we're speaking to is, well, who has our hearts? Who is the one that captures us? Who is the one that knows us? Who is the one that we will give our life for and follow no matter what the cost? The pendulum can swing to the other direction in something that is often referred to as the prosperity gospel, and it's a place and a view and an understanding of the gospel that say God is going to pour out his blessing upon you, and a way that you will see that and know that is that you will have wealth and possessions, and you will have an abundance of all of these things, and that's how we know that you are well-favored and walking close with God. And both of those are erroneous. Both of those are actually opposite to what God would desire for us. Both of those are actually different from what he wants us to know and experience in our lives. In fact, as followers of Jesus, those who are growing, pursuing him, and choosing him to be first in every area of our life will hold and walk in this place of tension to say, I understand what it means to have, and I understand what it means to have not. And yet in the middle of all those things, if I have Jesus, I have everything that I need. Paul writes about this in the book of Philippians. He's encouraging the church. He says in chapter 4, verse 10 to 13, he says, how I praise the Lord that you've been concerned about me. He says, I know you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have a chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. He says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I don't know about you, but most of my prayers have been, God, give me a full stomach. Give me the stuff that I want. Right? There haven't been many prayers of, God, take it all away. God, if I've got nothing, that's fine. I will admit that those have not been my prayers. And yet Jesus invites us to be people who seek and trust after him. Be people that will trust his provision and grace. We're going to see it in the next couple of weeks as we look at the Lord's Prayer once again. And Jesus invites us to say, this is how I want to teach you to pray. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Meet our needs today. Like he did, it isn't the promise for well off in the future or down the road, but he's saying, today, would you trust me for provision? Would you trust me for the grace that you need? Would you trust me for all that you need to survive and navigate the life that I've called you for and created you for? Do you believe that I can provide for those things? And so often what we fight against and what we realize in our world, the culture that we navigate, it is a culture that says you need to have more and you need to have the right stuff. You need to have the right clothes. You need to have the right phone. You need to have the right house and car. And you need to have the possessions that show you are doing well. And yet the tension that we're called to walk is to be people who faithfully steward what God entrusts to us. Jesus is more concerned about our hearts than he is with what we have. He's inviting us to be people who recognize his grace, his mercy, and his provision in our lives. Two passages of scripture that we're going to look at in the Sermon on the Mount today that's going to kind of frame our time, and we're going to be quick in this part, is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Jesus writes this because he is speaking about the heart of serving him, of walking with generosity. He says, watch out. He said, don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you'll lose the reward from your Father in heaven. He says, when you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do. In the next couple of passages we're going to look at, he's talking about the ways that people were living out of this like religious appearance to make sure people noticed what they did, the way that they gave, the way that they prayed, all of these things. They would do it in a way that they would want to be noticed by others. And he's saying, don't do it in this way. And he said, when you give to someone, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and the streets to call attention to their act of charity. He says, I tell you the truth. They've received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, but give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Jesus' challenge is, like, don't be try and be noticed. So much of our world is, how do I get noticed? How do my videos go viral? How do I get the most likes on social media? How do I make sure that I get noticed and seen? Can I drive the nicest car? Can I be the guy with the Cybertruck on my street? Can I be the one that is noticed in my community with what I have? And Jesus said, why are you doing that? Now you're doing it with generosity and giving to the poor, giving to the needy. He's saying, don't do it to be noticed, that everybody would see you and be like, oh man, you are so amazing. You're so wonderful. You're so awesome. You're so holy and righteous. Wow, could we just be like you? He's like, don't do it to be honored by people, because then if you do, you've got your reward. That's all you're going to get. But do it so that God sees, that God knows, not so that you can flaunt it in front of everybody, because then your reward is walking with him. Your reward is walking with him and joining him in the work that he's doing in the world around us. So often what we do is to get noticed. I think about this place of wanting this big truck, and part of it, as much as it would meet our practical needs and serve us well and did great for us, there was part of it of like, man, I want to be noticed. I'm not going to jack it up like some of the guys in 6-inch lifts and all the stuff that go around, but man, I'm not going to be driving a little Prius down the Anthony Henday. Notice me. I got my truck. What do we do to get noticed? We do lots in our lives, whether we make trying to make sure we got the right clothes, the right technology, the right friends, the right house, the right neighborhood. What are we doing to get noticed? Later on in the chapter, in chapter 6, Jesus goes and he speaks this about finances. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal, because wherever your treasure is, there is the desire of your heart. man, Jesus and I, like I said, we've been around this numerous times. I seem to get caught up in the things that are fast, the toys that are fun. And Jesus isn't against those things. He's not saying don't have those things. But if those are the things that become your treasure, there's your heart. That's what you're going to give. That's what you're going to do. You're going to think about, how do I get more? How do I have more? But you know what the thing is about possessions? It causes the most stress and worry and anxiety. Because all of a sudden, the more you have, then, you know, the more insurance you need. And you're worried if someone's going to steal the things or break in and take them, you know, go around with them. And all of a sudden, it causes stress. Because it's captured our heart. And Jesus is inviting us to be people that recognize that he is the one that provides all that we have and all that we need. And that he will sustain us and keep us. The question for us is, where is our treasure? The social media likes, getting noticed because of the possessions that we have. Maybe having the truck that gets people unstuck instead of being the one that's stuck. Where is our treasure? And they're good things. They're not necessarily bad things, but all of a sudden they've captured our heart. And they become the thing that consumes us. They become the focus of our time and our energy. They become the focus of our talents. What can I do to get more? What can I do to get the next one? What can I do to get this thing? And Jesus is asking the question, do I have your heart first? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you, is what we're told. And yet for so many of us, myself included, it is desiring the things of this world. Often the things that rust and spoil and fade. Like I said, this truck, man, oh man. I had it a month and a half, stolen the first time. Beautiful. Got it back, drove it for a long time, was a great truck, did well, moved to Edmonton. 6 months after moving to Edmonton, stolen from our driveway. Awesome truck. Man, I love these things. I have a way of going back and forth with this. And yet Jesus continues to try and work on my heart. There's a stubbornness probably in me. Are you going to learn a lesson? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to recognize that I can provide for you? That I give you the desires of your heart? Will you follow me first? Or will you set these things up, the things of the world? Will you build them and have them as the things that you pursue? I really believe that if we don't have a kingdom vision that reshapes our approach to possessions and generosity, we are not living a kingdom vision of God's purpose for our lives. We talk about it each and every week as we send one another out. You are the people of God, called by God, and his redemptive mission in the world. Joining him in his redemptive mission in the world means that we take what we have and we say, Jesus, it's all yours. Would you use it for your purposes and for your glory? Would you use it to bring change and transformation in people's lives? Would you use it to meet the needs of the poor and the needy in our communities? Would you use it to see people experience transformation and change? Would you use them to experience healing and wholeness? Jesus, would you use the things that I have? We talk about it. It's the mark of a disciple. We talk about it as we give on a weekly basis. It's a mark of service. That a disciple with a mark of service has a posture of service to others. They give of their time, their treasures, and their talents to build up the church and to help others in need. It is first recognizing that he is the one that provides for us. That he is the one that meets our needs, and he is the one that has provided all that we have. And he's saying, will you offer it up with open hands to see my purposes worked out in you and through you? See, Jesus has some strong words as we continue on. In that Matthew chapter 6 passage in verse 24, he speaks these words and he says it strongly, and I think it's something that we have to take notice of in our lives. He says, no one can serve two masters, for you're going to hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and be enslaved to money. See, he doesn't say money is bad, but he's saying for the love of money, being enslaved to money, being consumed by it, letting it be the only thing that's important, letting it be the thing that takes priority, that is what keeps us from pursuing and walking with God. And so Jesus speaks consistently and constantly through the Gospels about the way that we are called to live with a generous life, that we are called to steward the possessions and the things that we have, that we would see his purposes worked in us and through us. And that we would see the kingdom worked out in the world around us. See, the gift of Jesus, this is the thing that always blows me away. The gift of Jesus for us is that he invites us to join him in the work that he's doing in the world. Like God is the one who created the heavens and the earth, everything in it. And he holds it all together. And yet he comes to you and me and he says, hey, would you join me in this work? I want you to walk with me and join me in these places that I'm going and the things that I'm doing, the people that I'm caring for, the needs that I'm meeting. Would you join me in these things? He invites us to be part of that. He could do it by himself, but he's saying, would you join me? Here's what I provide for you, all the resources that you need to join me in the work that I'm doing. Would you meet me there? Whether in abundance or whether little, he's saying, would you join me there? Would you bring what you have to the table and say, God, here it is. It's all for you. Would you use it for your kingdom to see lives changed and transformed? He's inviting us to be people who walk with him, to serve him, to recognize him as first in all things. And so as followers of Christ, I think it requires us to be people who are attentive to guarding our hearts when it comes to and relates to our finances and how we live a generous life. And there's two things that I think are important in that, that start that, that allow us to guard our hearts. The first one is recognizing where it all comes from. Lots of times, and I think in Western Canada especially, we have this perspective and this idea that we work hard and we've earned what we've got. You put in the time, you put in the effort, I've earned it, I deserve it, I've got it, and I will earn more. The first place is we recognize it all comes from him. He's the one that gives us the gifts, skills, abilities, talents to be able to earn, to be able to receive, to be able to earn a living and to meet our needs. And he's saying, I will provide for you. Will you follow me? We need to recognize all that we have comes from him. All that we have comes from him. And the second one is that we ask how we steward what we've been entrusted with. How do you make those decisions and choices about what we do with our finances? I was challenged. There's a guy named John Mark Comer. He was a pastor in the Portland area. He leads an organization called Practicing the Way, working to build spiritual formation in people's lives, spiritual practices. He was talking about the issue of finances in his own life, and he talked about the way that he makes decisions around finances. He's got a group of guys that he walks with, and they walk in community with one another, submitting their lives to each other to see God's purposes worked out in them. And he said, any purchase I would make over $1,000, I asked the guys that I walk with to say, do you think this is a wise purchase? I was like, guy, come on. What does $1,000 get you? Like a cart of groceries now? Come on. Every time I go to Costco, I got to ask my friend. But his thing is, part of it is I know my own heart. I know it's real easy to see the newest and latest, greatest iPhone out, and I want it, so I buy it. But all it is it serves as a check and balance for him to say, why am I buying this? I wonder if, man, that's an extreme. But what does it look like to surrender the way that we steward our finances and our resources and say, God, how should I use this? How would you want me to use what you provided to me to be part of your kingdom work in the world around me? There would be people that see change and transformation, that we see the impact go far beyond Northeast Edmonton, but to reach around the world. What might it look like to be people who honor Jesus with all that he's provided, recognizing his grace and his mercy in our lives? Jesus' invitation to us, Jesus' question for us, I think that he poses for us as we work through these passages, is a question of first, where and what is my treasure? Maybe it's a moment where we need to sit in a spot and say, Jesus, what has captured my heart? Maybe it doesn't take a truck being stolen for a second time, or a snowmobile blowing up for a third time, or maybe Jesus can speak to you a lot quicker than he speaks to me, because it seems to be that's what it takes. But maybe it's a question of sitting and saying, Jesus, what's become my treasure? Are you first? Are you foremost? Are you the one that I've set as the king of my life? What other idols might I have? What other things might get in the way of me worshiping you? What other things would be challenging my heart and my space to be master of my life? Because just like the scripture says, you can't have two masters. Serve one or the other. Today we read the scripture and it challenges us to ask the question of what is and who is my treasure? And Jesus invites us to be people who recognize him as first, recognize him as provider, recognize him as the one who makes a way for us to follow and provide all that we need for the life he created and called us for. This morning we have a question. Who is my treasure? I'm going to pray for us. Because each one of us has got a different experience and a different space and a different way that God's at work. But at the core of it all, he is asking each and every one of us the question of who and what is my treasure. So Jesus, this morning we come with a gratefulness. We come recognizing, celebrating just you at work in people's lives in so many significant ways, baptism and baby dedication, the way you're growing in our church, and we celebrate it. And Jesus, in our community, we recognize that you have equipped us and you have all that we need to walk out the purposes and plans that you have for this church, that we would be people that are part of bringing change and transformation in our community. Jesus, for each and every one of us, it's an invitation to join you in the work you're doing. And yet so many things can capture our time, our attention, our energy, and our hearts. So this morning, our question for you is, who is the one that I treasure? What is the thing that I treasure? Jesus, where it may not be you, where it maybe hasn't been you, Jesus, we just ask for your forgiveness and grace. Or we've replaced you as the one who is first and foremost in our lives. Jesus, forgive us where we've tried to do it our own strength, our own ability, our own resources. Jesus, may we come with open hands and open hearts and join you in stewarding the resources you've entrusted to us to see your purposes worked out in us and through us. We're grateful for your grace and mercy that invites us to walk with you, that makes life with you possible. May we step into that and receive that today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, we are in exciting days. And Jesus is continuing to invite us to be people who walk in our life surrendered to him, to see his purposes worked out in us and through us. And we have opportunity to join him in seeing kingdom transformation in our community in significant ways. We are excited for what's ahead. Would you be praying with us, joining us as we pray that God would continue to lead and guide and direct our steps? As we finish our time together this morning, I want to remind you, we got an opportunity for prayer. We got a team here that would love to pray with you. If God's been at work in your heart, anything that's going on in life, we'd love to join you in prayer to be part with that. And as always, we want to remind you that you are the people of God, called by God in his redemptive mission in the world. So go and be who you are. Yeah, thanks for being with us this week. Be blessed. Stay warm. We'll see you next week.
Hey, and welcome back. Thanks for listening to this Sunday's message. We hope that we've helped you in your spiritual journey and that you're drawing closer to God. At Crosspoint, we gather on Sundays at 10 a.m. in Northeast Edmonton and throughout the week in something we love to call home groups. Home groups are encouraging and transformational communities for people just like you. We believe that the journey of faith is done together. So we hope that you'll connect with us at thecrosspointchurch.ca. Now, let me remind you of who you are. You are the people of God, called by God into his redemptive mission in the world. So be who you are.